Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. New beginnings are not just for the young. New beginnings are for all of us. Praise God that the Lord woke us up this morning and gave us another chance to get it right, a new beginning every day. His mercies are made new every single day. praise God for the merciful, gracious Lord that we serve. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Well, welcome to New Beginnings Ministry. I am Dr. Suzanne Clay, and my husband is John Clay, and we have been here on this Blog Talk Radio page for a couple of years now. I think it's been four years. I don't know. I have to go back in the archives and look. I know we have several weeks of recording that, and it's amazing how fast time flies. It really does. And it's also amazing with all of you listeners who listen to us either live through using your telephone or your computer or in the archives, as you can access previous messages from our ministry in the archives or our library right at Blog Talk Radio. If you go to New Beginnings and We Can Begin Again. Tonight we are so blessed. Number one, it's the playoff, the Indians and the Cubs are playing. You can tell I'm not a sports person, but I do get excited when folks win. So of the World Series, and tonight's the night for that. So I know that some of you may be anxious to get to the game, whether it's watching it on TV, listening to the radio, or whatever. But let's take this time before we move on to the excitement of the game, and let's get excited about Jesus. Okay, tonight we are going to be blessed by our speaker, and that is Pastor Paul Robinson out of Tennessee. And his title this evening is Complaining Christians. So without further ado, well, let me give you the number first, as my husband always does. The guest call-in number, and I encourage you to call in and be a participant in this discussion. It's one thing about learning and growing in the Lord that is interactive, and the Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him, but also to have a relationship with one another too. And as we increase in our relationship and our knowledge of Him and one another, we learn more about the character of God, and we develop an appreciation. It's good to discuss. It's good to hear the opinions and the ideas of other people. So the discussion is comfy on this station. We welcome you to call. The phone number, if you are a guest calling in, is 347-237-4054. 4054. So I have 423. Is that you, Robinson?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Welcome.
Hey,
welcome.
Man, it's good.
How's the weather there?
Oh, it's dry.
It's beautiful here. It's 74 degrees right now in November, believe it or not. But praise God. And like, without further ado, I really want to turn the talk over to you. So if you could open this up with prayer and just lead us this evening. Thank you so much.
Amen. It's good to be on tonight, and I do appreciate this time and this opportunity. Any time that God has given us the opportunity to speak for Him, well, we do appreciate Him for that. Without further ado, let us go into prayer. Father God, we pray tonight, God, and thank you so much for this evening. Father, we know and we understand that the weather is a bit dry, but God, as I said before, Father, you know what we need in the time that we need it, Lord. And God, we pray, God, that when that time comes, you will let it rain. Father God, we pray tonight, thanking you for every listening ear on the radio, on the internet, or by telephone tonight, God. God, we pray for participation tonight, Father. And God, we just ask that you will bless each one that's on tonight. As we have prepared something that you give us to give them, Lord. Father God, just bless us in a mighty way. Hide me behind the cross and not let you be, let me be seen, Father, but let your word be manifested through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be true and acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As I said before, first of all, I'd like to say hello to everyone. It's been a little while since I've been on here to speak. Some things started happening here on Wednesday evening, and I lost track. But thank God we are back for this time. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to deal with something that all of us at some point do. And our scripture text tonight will come from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 13 through 15, but our focal point will be on verse 14. Amen? And it reads, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to read, beginning with verse 13. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright light in a world and perverse people." I have read to you Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and those who obey his holy word. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us just for a moment here, and I pray that everybody would interact and we get through this. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about complaining Christians. And I want us to look at how Israel's complaining mirrors our Christian journey. Some of the same things that we do today and they done way back then. Our message tonight will be based on the New Testament, but we'll be going to the Old Testament to get the brevity or get in the depth of our message tonight. You see, we will see how the two books will go hand in hand. Amen? Amen. God delivered Israel from slavery to Egypt. He also intended to bring them into a promised land flowing with blessing and prosperity. Can y'all hear me? Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was okay. Okay. Okay.
And I'm sorry.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Okay, the lines are open.
All right. The children of Israel, however, they didn't cooperate with the plan designed to benefit them, plain and fought against God almost every step of the way. The Bible states these ancient events serve as our example that we might learn from them. Thus, we also see why we struggle so much in our own journey from slavery to sin, to possessing our inheritance in Christ. So let's look at some of the complaints that the Israelites had. But first of all, I want you to know that we complain about everything. We find every little thing in the world to complain about. A lot of Christians complain about the color of the carpet or the color of the walls, or they complain about who's sitting in my seat or who I'm sitting next to, or they complain about some of them even complain about the preacher that's in the pulpit. Amen. So, but we have to realize and understand that the Bible tells us to do everything, not just something, but to do everything without arguing and complaining. Amen. So let us look at Israel. And you don't have to turn to these books, but you can write them down if you want to. First of all, I want you to look at Exodus 14, verses 11 and 12. And here we'll find that the people complained and said, Moses, let us alone. That's what they said to Moses, let us alone. And this is when they're faced with what seems like an impossible situation, all because they listened to godly friends and leaders. See, you wonder if this Christian thing is worth it. We sometimes blame the preacher or Christian friends who has been witnessing to us for all of our new drama and pressure in life. And you know, on that note, I want to say, and I said before, that a lot of us get in a situation to where we say, man, is it worth it being a Christian? You know,
yeah.
Is it really worth it being a Christian? All of this stuff that I've got to go through. You know, I've got to do this right. I've got to do that right. And I can't go here, and I can't go there. Is it really worth being a Christian? And I know it don't happen to all of us, but most people, the first thing they say, man, it's not worth it. This ain't even worth it. And they begin to blame people. They begin to blame people like the preacher. They blame stuff on the preacher. Or he ain't teaching good, and he ain't doing right, or he ain't living right. And they'll blame some of the Christian friends, some of them that you witness to. They'll blame you for some of the new drama and the new press. Well, if I hadn't got saved, you know, I wouldn't be going through all of this. Well, I stopped to tell you today that if you had got saved, you might be dead from all of that. Amen? Amen.
Right.
So we have to understand that people are going to complain no matter what. And that was just one of them that I want to look at tonight, one of the complaints of Israel and one of the complaints of Christians, even in today's world. In this lesson tonight, we'll find that there are really 14 times that the Israelites complain to God about something. They complain all the time. They griped and fussed and just pretty much run God in the ground with all of their complaints. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Don't that sound like some of us today? Does that not sound like some of us today? We just complain about everything. And then the first thing we want to do, we want to get up in church and we want to sing that song, God, you've been so good to me, and I won't complain. But yet and still, the first time you walk out the door, or as soon as you walk out the door of the church, you start complaining.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we've got to watch ourselves on that. We've got to watch ourselves on that. Let's go ahead and look at number two. I'm going to drop about six of these, but I'm not going to push them. I'm going to let you have about six of these, but we ain't going to push them too hard. In the book of Exodus, again, chapter 15, verse 22, the people of Israel they complained about bitter water. You see, this is when you're faced with the bitterness of changing your diet from things of the world to the things of God. You see, it's like asking a child. Y'all bear with me now. Listen. It's like asking a child to go from sugary foods to eating their vegetables. And it never happened. It will never happen without a protest.
That's right.
So let me say this to us tonight. That no matter how much we witness or how many lives we lead to Christ, it's going to be hard for people to change their diet. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's going to be hard. It is hard. Let me put it that way. It's hard for people to go from doing bad, hallelujah, to doing good. It's hard for people to go from working in the world to working in the church. It's hard for people, listen now, to go from working for the devil to working for God. It's a diet changing thing. It's a thing like changing your diet. So it's kind of hard. But if you continue down that pathway of doing what God wants you to do, then everything will work out. You'll get used to it. One of my friends at work is calling himself being on a weight loss thing, and he hates yogurt to death. But he bought a lot of it, and he started eating it. And every time he took a bite, he frowned. Man, this stuff is horrible. This stuff is bad. But I told him, I said, just keep eating it, and sooner or later, you will acquire a taste for it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Y'all feel me? Y'all feel me? If we just keep on getting in our word, if we just keep on praying to God, if we just keep on doing the things that God will have us to do, we'll start acquiring a taste for it. And it won't be bitter anymore. It won't be that bitter taste anymore. It will become, as the Bible says, it'll become sweeter than honeycomb. Amen. Amen. I like it. I like that. It'll become sweet as a honeycomb. Before I go on, are there any comments or anything anybody has to say before I go on?
I'm disagreeing with you, especially when you mentioned the yogurt, because I had to change my eating too. And you know what? Like my and I know I've said this online over and over again, but my grandmother always said the devil makes you think fat meat's not greasy, you know. So even though you know that a diet of sugar and flour, a diet of fat, that that's not good for you, we still.
Uh-huh.
Desire it, you crave it, because it's like,
yeah,
an addiction. Even with the heroin addict, even those that are addicted to drugs, they know it's not good for them. They have been educated with it. They see, they read the billboards and the news and everything, but they can't say no to it. The devil will make you think that it's good,
That's right.
It's so hard to break those bad habits. So maybe your addiction or habit may not be as bad as overeating or eating the wrong foods which cause disease or the drugs or so forth. But whatever it is with sin, the devil makes you think it's okay. That's how you got hooked in the first place. So it becomes so familiar to you that although you know that something else is better, it's so hard to let that go.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
A good word.
Let me ask you, have you ever tried to make your child eat something that was good for him. And every time you do, every time you say, now baby, this is good for you. This is vitamin A or vitamin C or vitamin D, whatever it might be. If that kid don't like it, he's going to protest what
right.
you're trying to do. But once he tastes it, let me tell you, and I'll move on after this. My son, my youngest son, used to eat stuff when he was a kid. When he was a baby, he ate the vegetables, the Gerber stuff, you know. He ate it. But after he got older, he lost the taste for his vegetables. And I told my wife, she used to always say, well, I'll pay you to eat this and I'll pay you to eat that. But I told her, I said, baby, just leave him alone. As he goes through life, he's going to try different things, and he'll come back to it. And sure enough, mm-hmm. it took him till he was 25 years old, but he began to try vegetables again. And the more he tried them, the more he liked them. And it's the same
mm-hmm.
way with God. It's the same way with God. Even though we're lost out there in the world and we're not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, we know it's right what we're supposed to be doing, and we know what we are doing is bad for us. But once we start getting a little bit and start understanding a little bit, and we get a little bit more and we get a little bit more, and we go ahead and we acquire a taste, then you'll be sitting at Bible study, or you'll be sitting in your Sunday morning worship desiring that word.
Amen.
And that's just the way we are as Christians, but we do complain a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We complain a lot. Let's look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 1-4. And it says, the people complained again about being hungry. But guess what God done? God gave them manna. Let me read this. Now, this is when your spiritual growth produces greater hunger. However, it's not the earthly food that we're used to. God begins to feed us with the heavenly food. You see what I'm saying? So
amen.
We have to understand that God gives us
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I was at the church and somebody came walking in. Hey,
okay,
amen.
Got you.
So
God gives us. You said God gives us.
Oh, okay. We have to understand here in Exodus 16 that when the people complained about being hungry, you know, when they was out in the desert, they complained about everything. And one of the things they did complain about was food. Well, God allowed them to have food. He allowed them to have the manna that he rained down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You got that? So, but in this part of the lesson tonight, I want us to understand that God will give you what you need when you need it. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of times, we had a program here at church one Sunday, and it was on mission. And we had a guy come in that showed video and pictures and talked about hunger around the world. And he talked about Guatemala and how those people over there were hungry. And we seen video of what they had to do for food, how they had to work, And then we can look at our own people in Africa. We can see how some of those people are starving to death. But somehow, some way, God always make a way for them. God will always make a way for you when you least expect it. I heard a song that says, he's an on-time God, He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time.
Amen.
But see, what God wants us to have as his people, God wants to feed us not earthly food, but he wants us to feed us that heavenly food, that good stuff. I say tonight, he wants to feed us that good stuff. And the food that I'm talking about is the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
That's the food that I'm talking about here tonight. Okay, amen. As we move on in our lesson tonight, we're still dealing with Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do everything without complaining and arguing. And that's what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about the people of Israel. And I'm trying to let us see how our Christian journey looks the same way as their journey from Egypt to the promised land did. In Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, Miriam and Aaron, they complained about Moses' leadership. They complained about his leadership. And when they complained about his leadership, you know what God done? He struck Miriam with leprosy. Mm-hmm. So we got to be careful about complaining about leadership.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, lights. Amen, walls. We got to be careful about complaining about leadership. But here in this is the second time that Moses had to intercede for the people. Numbers 12 and 13, the first time in Exodus 32 verses 10 through 12 was the second time. Now, in these tests, the people were faced with a test of leadership. Knowing the importance of not only following God, but following his delegated leader. Now,
right.
I know that I'm probably going to walk on some toes out there over the internet or over the radio or even on the phone. I know I might walk on some toes tonight, but we've got to be careful about following, about complaining about leadership. Let me tell you something. Too many times people drop out of church because, as I said before, the first thing they want to holler, I don't like that preacher. I don't like the way he preached. I don't like the way he taught. I don't like how he do this. I don't like how he do that. And see, we got to be careful, because God will put you in a position and make you understand and make you realize that that man or that woman that you are under their leadership is what you need.
Right.
See, the thing about people, so people want to lead. Y'all watch this now. People want to lead, but they don't want to lead.
Right.
Okay. Here we go.
Amen.
Here we go. They fuss about leadership, and they want to say, you need to do this, and you need to do that. But then you say, okay, well, you do it. Well, the first thing they holler, well, I don't want to do it. Well, if you don't want to do it, people of God, quit complaining about it.
Right.
Quit fussing about it.
Right.
Because what a lot of people don't understand is being in a leadership position is enough pressure already. It was enough pressure on Moses already that he didn't need people coming down on him. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? Your pastor or your leader, it's enough pressure on them dealing with you. y'all, I know I might make somebody mad, but it's enough pressure on your leader dealing with you and your spirit and all the other spirits in the congregation that he don't have to put up, he don't need to put up with all the fussing and complaining coming from everywhere else, hitting
right.
from all sides or hitting her from all sides. But watch
right.
this now. Watch this. Even though you are murmuring and you're complaining, you're arguing, you're fussing, and you're raising all kinds of Hades up in the church, yet and still that leader, like Moses, will intercede for you when it comes down to it.
Right.
We need to quit complaining about leadership.
Well, that's a true leader that would still pray. That's a true leader that can see beyond a group's ignorance, you know?
Right.
But a lot of times, like you say, folks want the title of leadership. They want the position, but they don't want the responsibility.
That's right. That's right. You want to call the shot, but when it all comes down to it, and it's your time, then you don't know what to do, or you don't know how to do. If you don't be trying to tell somebody how to do something if you don't know how to do it. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Don't tell the preacher how to preach if you can't preach. Lord have mercy. Amen. Are there any more comments on this before we get ready to continue?
Any more
with
lines are open. All
Amen.
Lines are open.
Amen. Let's move on. We got a couple more here that I wanna work with. Like I said, that's 14 complaints, 14 times they complained, but I just want to deal with about six of them here tonight. But let's look at Numbers in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. And in that part of Numbers, the people of Israel, the Israelites, they were still complaining. They complained about how difficult it looked to enter the land. So what they done was they refused to go into the promised land because they complained about the difficulty of going in. Remember there were spies sent out, and one of them came back with a bad report. And I believe that when he came back with that bad report, it scared the people. And they refused to go in. You see, because the path the Lord has chosen to develop his people is almost always humanly impossible and difficult, it can cause some people to freak out and desire their old life. Y'all see what I'm saying? Those people, the Israelites, got so freaked out that they even said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We was better off in Egypt. We were better off being slaves than we are out here in this land, in the desert. You brought us out here. No food, no water. We've got fear in our heart. But let me tell you something, people of God. Don't freak out. Don't freak out and desire your old way. The Bible tells us that if we turn back to our old ways, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It'll be worse the second time than it was the first time. Now, can you imagine the Israelites going back to Egypt because they got mad at Moses? See, if they went back to Egypt, then Pharaoh would have made it so hard on them that they would have died there anyway. And sometimes we can't see God's promises. We can't see what God has planned for us up ahead. We can't see the things that he want to do for us. So because we can't physically see them, we want to turn away from them.
Right.
And a lot of times, if not all the time, when we turn away from God and think we can make it better in our own way, one way or another, we're going to wind up dying. Either physically or spiritually.
That's right.
And if a person dies spiritually, they may as well be dead physically. That's the way I look at it. Sister Clay, I don't know who's out there that needs to hear this about complaining and fussing and murmuring about everything that goes on. Sometimes we fuss and we complain not about everything, but about no thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people fuss and complain just over nothing, just because they can.
Right.
They want to raise more cane than a little bit, just because they can. So I'm saying to us tonight, people of God, all over the radio land, all over the airwaves, I'm saying to us tonight, and I'm going to say it like Mama was saying, boy, stop that fussing. You're always fussing. You're always griping, complaining. Sit down and shut up. That's what I'm saying to y'all tonight. Amen. Amen. I got one more I want to look at here. I got one more I want to deal with here. One more.
You're fine. Keep going.
I got one more I want to deal with here. In Numbers, chapter 14, we're still in chapter 14 in Numbers, and right there at verse 10, it says that the people complained again and wanted to kill Moses because they tried to select another leader, and the Lord seeks to destroy pestilence. Watch out. Watch out.
All right.
I believe it is in the book of Psalms, the psalmist wrote, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophet any harm. I believe I read that.
All right.
Listen to this, people of God. Some believers will attempt, they will attempt to vote out their spiritual leader. hoping to select another leader who will lead them into a more prosperous path. And when it doesn't look like they can replace their leader, watch this. They even make plans to try to kill him. Wow. If they can't find somebody to take his place, then they'll try to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope that I have some leadership listening on the line tonight, or by airwaves, or however they may be listening. I hope you're listening to me tonight. Your people, at some point, are going to try to vote you out. They form these things in the church. they form these little things in the church they call cliques. And they'll have a click here and a click there, and and a clique over here and a clique back yonder. They form these little groups that we call cliques, and they'll get together and they'll start whispering and start murmuring to each other. They'll start trying to make plans on how they can vote you out. But I stop by to tell you this evening. Now listen to me now. The Bible says to stand. And after all you've done to stand, he wrote and said, stand. Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, when people come against you thinking they can select the more prosperous, a more talkative, a leader that won't come down on them so hard, leader that won't discipline them. See, that's one thing about leadership. You got to be able to discipline your people, but you got to be able to discipline them with love. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand that people, listen, this is what I tell my church folk all the time. People are going to be people. And when people be people, they're going to do people things. So we as spiritual leaders in the church, our job is to fall prostrate before the throne of God and hallelujah, and pray for them and try to lead them in a better way. And they don't get scared now, so don't y'all get scared and stop preaching or stop trying to lead. But listen, it may be even some of them, as I read to you earlier, that will make plans to try to take you out every way they can.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all know what kind of world we live in today? What kind of world we live in today that they'll find legal ways to take you out, to get to you, to push the right button. Some leaders are so weak. Ma'am?
Mm-hmm. I said attack your character. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, right. They would try every way they can to get you out of there. And that's what Israelite did, the Israelites done. They tried every way they could to get Moses out of that. But let me tell you something. If God is for you, hallelujah, who is the world against you?
That's right. Amen.
You know,
amen.
You know, and I've said many times before, you know, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world cannot take it away. This position that I have, the world didn't give me this position in leadership. The world didn't give you that position in leadership, and the world certainly can't take it away, because when they try to pull you out and push you out and shove you to the side and bring in another leader, guess what's going to happen? They'll bust the doors of hell wide open, I'm telling you. Because when you try to get people on your side, I've already said it, people are people.
Uh-huh.
And Moses was a leader.
Amen.
And he was over these Israelites. And y'all know, let me ask you something. Do you know how many different spirits and mindsets were in that whole company of Israelites?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many thousands of people that was?
Mm-hmm.
All different ages, all different sizes, all different shapes and colors. Man, them people, it was hundreds and thousands of those people. And Moses had to lead those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God gave Moses the strength to lead those people, those thousands of people, out into the promised land, across the Red Sea, across the Jordan River. If he gave him the strength to do that, how much more do you think should give you strength to lead the few people that you have?
Yes. It's a good word.
Wow. Complaining Christian is what I'm talking about tonight. Christians who just bicker and complain about everything. Food, water, leadership, everything. They found everything to complain about. And you know what you see what they've done when they complained so much is that they went and they even complained about God. They even complained about God.
That's right.
So what they done is they went and made their own God.
Yes. Yes. Grave.
Oh my God. They went and made their own God because they felt like God wasn't doing enough for them.
That's a word right there.
After he protected them from Pharaoh's army.
Yes.
After he had saved their life. And listen. This goes all the way over to the person of Jesus Christ and how Jesus was treated and tormented and killed because he was leading people in the right direction.
Right.
And I'm preaching to myself tonight, too, that we have to understand that just as Christ suffered, we too must suffer.
Amen.
Especially if we're in a position of leadership, In my closing remarks tonight, are there any remarks before I read my closing?
Amen. I wanted to make a comment. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I can hear you.
I wanted to make a comment. And you talk about in terms of making own gods. And I think about it in terms of that when we put God aside, when we begin to start to love anything more than God, that becomes their God. Your car. Your money. Whatever you fall in love with, that becomes your God. Then that was the graven image. That was the images. But now, whatever it is that you fall in love with, that becomes your God. That's what you worship. You get people with a brand new car, and if you run into that car, they might get out and do some harm to you because you just destroyed or you just messed with their God, something they love more than anything.
That's right. You're exactly right. And people get it messed up, Reverend, that, you know, it's the love of money that makes people go haywire. And people want to blame everything on money or blame everything on the car or blame everything on the house. But it's your own love that you have taken from God and given to this idol, and it's causing you to fall short. It's causing you. And that's what they do. That's what people do. I mean, every day people do that. They do it every day. They create their own God. Watch this, Elder Clay. Sometimes people will even put their children in the place of God.
My Lord.
And the Bible says it's a dangerous thing to fall under the wrath of an angry God. It's a dangerous thing. In my closing, before we, I want to read this. There is some good news here, though. There's some good news.
Yes, sir.
And the good news is God doesn't leave us.
Yes,
frozen.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't leave us frozen by the horror of seeing our gross cheek selves. Mm-hmm. He also reveals his boundless mercy and compassion toward us. Yeah, it is truly amazing to consider that the one and only true God, hallelujah,
yes,
the righteous,
yes,
and holy creator of the universe, patiently puts up with us,
yes,
and then dies for us, even the death of the cross.
Yes.
How could anyone not want to serve an awesome God like,
yes,
that?
How,
yes, could,
amen,
anyone,
amen,
not want to serve that God? Somebody who puts up with our mess, not only puts up with our mess,
mm-hmm,
but he took on our mess.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm done, hallelujah. I'm done, Elder Clay. I'm done,
hallelujah.
I'm done,
hallelujah.
I'm done. I'm done.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
I'm done. You know,
amen.
I just wanted to share with you all tonight, and the thought about complaining Christians and how Israel's complaining mirrors some of our complaining.
Yes.
You know what they done way back then, we do it right now. People,
yes,
do it today. Same thing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank,
amen,
you, Elder, for that opportunity.
Amen.
Thank you for that opportunity tonight.
Amen. 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 Dr. Clay, that's on you. You're closing out.
Well, praise God. Thank you so much for this word this evening. It really spoke to me, especially when you related it to leadership and understanding leadership. The Lord tells us that we are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for them, to get behind them and pray for them. So if God puts,
yes,
someone in position, who are we to say that they're not or that they're no longer
right. Amen.
So we're supposed to get behind them and pray for them. And when there's disagreements, the word even has what Christians should do in love when there's disagreements or conflicts or offense. So we,
yes,
need to follow God's word. This Bible, I tell you, is like they say, a life manual. It's a life,
mm-hmm,
manual for how to handle absolutely every single aspect of our lives. And the Lord uses his chosen people in examples for all of us. Praise,
yes,
God. I'm so,
amen,
thankful for the word that you brought forth this evening, and the way that you broke it down. It really, really spoke to me, and I'm sure you and I just want to thank you for that. And,
yes,
and welcome,
yes,
back online. Welcome back online. So, did,
yes,
you,
amen,
know,
amen, amen, amen. Welcome back. Welcome back.
God is so good. God is so good. Well, okay, God is so good to us. I want to say that Election Day is coming up for our leaders.
Uh-huh.
All of us may step up. Robinson talked about folks as people of color. Go out there and make a vote. Don't go backwards. We're moving forward. In God's,
yeah,
name,
right,
we just praise your name and thank you, Lord, for this word this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we believe that the word was rightly divided. And even after the program is over, Lord, and we hang up our phones and shut our computers, dear Lord, that word is turning and growing and moving in us, Father God.
Yes.
Show,
yes,
us, Father God, what we are to receive from this word, what we can glean from it, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that has gone forth this evening, for the dividing of your word, Father God,
yes,
for the comments,
yes,
Father God. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every household, Father God, that is currently listening to this word, to listen, Father God, those who have ever listened, Father God, and those who will find us in the archives. We praise,
yes,
your name, and we thank,
yes,
you.
Hallelujah.
You are,
yes,
the good
good God. You are a good Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dreamer awakened to a life that's yet to come.